Welcome to CareerTools. This week, your resume. A headline, not the whole story. Here we go. Folks, rather than do an ad this week, we just want to say thanks for listening, for wanting to improve yourself as a professional at whatever level you are. And it's a privilege for us to do it. We've just passed our 9-year mark recording Manager Tools and now also CareerTools. And it's because of listeners like you, we continue to do it. So. Thank you. Okay, Wendy, so when I read this cast, at first I kind of questioned it, then I realized, oh, it's really good because this is one of my fundamental problems communicating with people. What is the purpose of the resume and why so many people get it so wrong?
Yeah, I think people start with the wrong thought. They start with the, I have to tell everybody everything.
Everything,
if I don't tell them everything, there might be some detail that would have got me the job that I missed out. And that's not the way to think about it. So if you change your mindset, the one-page resume that we recommend becomes much more understandable, much more, you know, much less controversial, hopefully.
Yeah. And what people tell us is I've got to include everything, but I just feel like I can't. And the answer is, you're right, you can't.
It doesn't all fit. You can't.
Yeah, in the same way that a headline is designed to get you to read the story or a magazine cover is designed to get you to open the magazine, your resume has a different purpose than telling everybody everything.
Absolutely.
So go ahead, Wendy.
So we're going to split this cast into two. We're going to talk about the purpose of your resume, help you think about that, and then we're going to talk about the headlines and exactly what that means. So the purpose of your resume is to get you an interview.
That's it.
It does not get you the job. It doesn't get you an offer. It doesn't do any of the other things that are part of the transition process. Its only job is to get you an interview.
It's a digital thing. Yes or no, he gets an interview, she gets an interview. Your resume doesn't become so good that you are massively ahead of anyone else. Now, if your resume is right on point and nobody else's is, you might be first among equals, but generally speaking, the slate is wiped clean, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When people come to interview, there is a, okay, so you got to this part, now you start at zero again, and it's you against the job description or you against the role.
Yeah, so you're not trying to get every detail so that you can maximize your points in the entire process. It's just to get you over the sill. It's just to get you in the game.
Absolutely. You don't need to give every detail of your life. It's not to tell somebody every skill you have. It's not to show that you're a rounded person. It was a very popular phrase when I was first looking for a job. Everybody had to be rounded.
Yeah, it's also not to tell them what you want to do or what your ambitions are. I just got interviewed recently by, I want to say, an editor at Barron's or Smart Money for a men's fitness article. And, you know, he saw a young person being interviewed by or talked to by an HR person in the office. And the person was saying, yeah, I was hoping to craft this kind of job in this particular way and so on. And he was just astounded that this person thought the conversation was, I want you to understand exactly what I want. And then I want you to give it to me. That's not what resumes are for, to convince them that you're going to do X. Unfortunately, whether you like it or not, guys, the company holds all the cards. You may not like that, but that is the system. And you don't have to play the game if you don't want to. But if you don't play the game, don't be surprised if the rules of the game bite you. And if you don't want to play the rules, play by the rules, and you want to make your resume into something that it's not, that's okay. But the rules are set by someone else, whether you like it or not. And if you don't win, if you don't get what you want, it's generally considered inappropriate to complain. Okay? You want to play your own game? Play your own game. That's okay. We want you to do great. If you're Bill Gates, quit Harvard, right? Mm-hmm. If you're Mark Zuckerberg, do whatever the heck you want. But if you're going to play the game, if you want an interview, the rules are already written. And the purpose of a resume is very clear. It's just to get you an interview.
And in order to do that, all you have to give is the salient point. So a hiring manager is looking for XYZ skills and ABC experience. And the only thing, when you're looking at resumes, you know, there's all this, always in articles, it says hiring managers only look at resumes for 30 seconds or 15 seconds or 60 seconds. It's always some ridiculously low number. But the reason they can do that is because they're not looking
For everything.
Particularly for everything. They're saying, okay, I want an engineer who's worked in green energy and in a large company. Yep. And right when they look at their resume, it's like, okay, are those three things on here? Yes or no? And that's all they're looking for initially. And if it's yes, then you go on the yes pile, and then they read your resume in more detail, looking for other things, you know, that would be helpful or that distinguish you from other candidates. But initially, you just have to have, it's as you said, it's digital. It's, do you have X, Y, and Z? If the answer is yes, then the resume is kept. If the answer is no, then it's discarded. And that's all you're trying to do. When you create your resume, you've got to think, okay, what exactly is the hiring manager looking for? And those things have to be on your resume. And the other stuff that's nice to have or good to have or that you're really proud of doesn't need to be on there, because right now they're irrelevant.
Yeah, irrelevant and actually a bit of a negative.
It could be. You know, if it turns your resume into three pages and the hiring manager can't find what he's looking for all the other stuff, then absolutely could be a negative, because he could miss you in the pile of, you know, three pages of paper.
Yeah. And it might also say you're not confident.
Yeah.
And you don't know what it is I'm doing, and you don't understand the process. Those are all negatives. There is not a sufficient enough amount of detail available in a paper resume or a video resume or any other stupid idea like that, that will cause a company to decide, I'm going to hire this person. They're just not. And they're going to have to interview you. And the decision can be very quick because, as Wendy said, they're looking for specific things. You give them lots of specific things doesn't mean they'll spend more time trying to find it. And after the first page, page and a half, they're going to know. No, I take that back, folks. Let me change that. They're going to make a legitimate decision based on their years of experience about whether or not they believe they're going to find what they want in the sixth, fourth, third page of your resume. And 99.99% of the time, they're going to say, doesn't have it. I don't need to read it. I've made a decision that in the first page, page and a half, it's not there. You may not like that, but that's the way it works.
And the reason recruiters can look at a resume in that amount of time is because that's what they do all day.
Yeah.
I met someone recently who works for Frank Gehry, the architect.
Right.
And he's apparently, I can't remember how old he is, but old enough to have retired, and he's still in the office six days a week. And she says he can spot an error on an architectural drawing from the other end of the office. And because he's had that much practice and he's that good.
Right.
You know, not literally, but you know, that's why recruiters don't take very long to look at your resume, because they've had that much practice and they're that good and they know what they're looking for.
Yep.
So one of the things that's popular, it's reducing in popularity, but I'm going to say it again, see if I can get rid of it. Personally, it's my campaign, is purpose or objective statements. So they usually say, I want to fulfill my potential by serving the company to the best of my ability, using all of my skills. And hiring managers and recruiters don't care. The job is not there to make you feel good that you're serving society, that you're serving the company and using all of your skills. The job is there because the company needs it done.
For their customers. Yeah, for their customers. It's all about the customers of the company. It's not about you. This idea that you should love your job, it's a bonus. I know this is going to sound very anti, just sort of ancient, but jobs weren't about anything other than duty and food up until the last 75 years. Jobs still exist in their basic premise based on companies trying to serve society, organizations trying to serve society. You telling us exactly what you want, if it's at all different from what we want, is an easy way for us to say no. More data makes it easier for us to say no. If I have 15 resumes that I like, I can't possibly interview all of them. So now when you tell me your objective is something different than what I have, I'm going to say, well, okay, I'm not going to keep her for very long.
Yeah.
So.
And using your strengths is irrelevant too. If your weaknesses fill the job and do the job to the standard that's required, a hiring manager will take your weaknesses. It's not about using your strength. So this is another of my campaigns, is that the resumes that give a block of software, like these are all the softwares and environments that I've worked in or used. And for a start, I never believe anybody. There's no way. When there's like 50, and I've seen 50, you know, on like 10 lines, you think, yeah, there's no way that you've got really good experience in all of those. It's like you used it once.
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Or you didn't write code in it, but you were in an environment that included it, and you had to be aware that it was there. Well, heck, guys, I can't write code anymore, but I'm aware that it's there. So you're essentially saying to people, you're as technically competent as Mark Orsman, which is not a thing you want to put on your resume.
Yeah, you were in an office where somebody else was working on it. And if it's not something that's that the hiring manager needs, he doesn't care.
Yep.
Like, I don't need to know that you can use Fortran if we're looking for a presenter.
Right.
You know, I don't need to know if you can use Fortran if you're going to work for us in our IT department, because if you want to work for Mike, he doesn't care about Fortran because we don't use it. He cares about the things we use. And so you don't need to waste all that space with this long list of things that you've used ever. So I've got an example. So if you're finding this difficult to get into the mindset of the hiring manager and what he wants, think about hiring a service provider in your own home. So for example, you need a gardener. You want someone to mow the lawn, to get rid of the leaves, and to trim the bushes once a month. That's it. Really simple. You've got no flowers. We'll just assume that. So when you look for that person, when you look for a gardener, do you look for someone who also paints houses? Of course you don't, because you don't know, you don't want your house painted at that point. You're just looking for someone who can do the job that you want done, which is mowing the lawn, clearing the leaves and trimming the bushes. And later on, if you find someone and you really like them and they also paint houses, you might think, oh, do you know what? My house could do with sprucing up. Maybe I'll ask about that too. But the fact that somebody paints houses but can't mow lawns, that would rule them out, because they're not able to do what you want them to do. So that's how the hiring manager's thinking too. I want someone who can do the things that I want them to do. Anything else is kind of irrelevant right now.
Yeah, and again, makes it harder for us to find the things we're looking for. If we're looking, we know what we're looking for. We've seen it in a couple of resumes. We've been able to find it in 10 or 15 seconds. And all we're doing, we're not trying to judge the entire person. All we're doing is trying to make a decision. Interview or not, interview or not, interview or not. If you then give us way too much stuff because you're trying to tell us the whole story, we may miss it because you put too much other stuff in there. If I don't get to your first job until two-thirds down the first page because you think you want to put an objective statement in every single thing you've ever worked in, some of which is from 12 years ago, which as an example in the technology world is probably fairly moot, and you know, it's all in there in the first paragraph, the skills paragraph. I might miss what I'm actually looking for, and I may not get down two-thirds down the page to discover that that last job you've had actually has some relevance. And this is a case of the kitchen sink is not the answer. The kitchen sink suggests I'm fearful and I don't understand the process, which is not a reason to get interviewed.
The next thing you want to do, so now you've thought, okay, these are the things that the hiring manager is looking for. Now, the next temptation is to tell everything about that point. So the hiring manager says he's looking for the engineer that we talked about, an engineer mm-hmm. who's in the green industry and has experience with large companies. And then you want to tell him, like, about this big project that you did and all of the different components and what kind of challenges you had and what kind of tasks you did. And that, again, is mostly irrelevant information. Right now on your resume, all the hiring manager wants is the headline, which is, did you deliver the project on time, on budget, on scope? Yep. That's it. So I've got some examples here of people who've put too much into one bullet on their resume.
This is an example of an accomplishment, a responsibility, what?
An accomplishment.
Okay. All right. So this is a bullet about how good they did their job. Okay. So go ahead.
Yeah. So coached 4 product teams into a weekly testing cycle within 2 weeks of research strategy approval. Teams began interviewing 3 to 5 potential customers per week in-house. Within 3 months, I trained 29 company employees on the basics of user interview techniques and currently support user testing for 10 teams, including product, marketing, and operations. Anytime you've got a full stop in an accomplishment bullet,
it's
you
over.
Know it's too long.
Yeah.
Like there should be only one... Sorry, not full stop, period. And that should be at the end of your bullet. That's it. Just one.
Yeah.
But even in these 3.5 lines, she doesn't say what the aim of the project was, what the aim of the tester training was, what the standards were. There's a lot of how, but no why and no what the standards were and whether she achieved it.
And somebody would say, I think in this person's defense, they'd say, well, I have a lot of quantification. Yeah, when we say quantification, what we mean is against the goal, against the objective, rather than qualification like did exceptionally well, which we can't validate and which is not indicated by a third party that has credibility. You're judging yourself, which the organization, you know, essentially evaluated you. You don't get to evaluate yourself on your resume.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. That I always say you can't use adjectives, but that's what it is. It's you evaluating yourself.
Yeah. Good.
Okay, so here's a second example. Managed part of a high-profile engagement to support a ministry in developing a sovereign debt management unit. My role was to guide the client in defining what executives they would need to run the DMU, develop and execute a global search strategy, design the assessment criteria, and put together and lead a panel comprising various global partners and key ministers.
Wow. That's a responsibility. That is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a description of the project and what they did, but it's not really an accomplishment because it doesn't tell you how well they did it. That's the definition of an accomplishment, right? I did it how well I did it. And there's lots of how, but no why and no what. And the other hint that you're doing it wrong is that there's a my in there. So any my's or I's that don't belong on your resume. So if you write a sentence and it has my or I on it in it, stop. You're on the wrong track.
Yep. Good.
So the point of the accomplishments is to give the headline, is to tell us what you achieved, what you did against the target.
Right.
So if I go back to the lawn care example first, and then I'll tell you that what those bullets should be for those other people. So I looked for a lawn care person and I found one on the internet, and they do lawn mowing and bush trimming and landscape maintenance and fertilization. And it also said, if you have any questions or service needs that are not listed, feel free to contact us. We aim to please and we will take any lawn landscape challenge. We have expert knowledge of dog and pet safe plants, as well as organic resources and options. They're willing to do anything, which means they don't specialize in anything, right? That's and it's the same as your resume. It's like, oh, kitchen sink, right? And he doesn't tell me how well he's doing any of it. You know, I'm like, okay, so you can mow a lawn, but I don't know how well he does it. So if he was writing a resume, he might write something like, achieved 100% customer satisfaction in mowing lawns to NCI PMC guidelines. Bet you didn't know there were guidelines.
Wow, did not know. There are. Yeah,
there are, yeah. Or achieved preferred lawn care specialist designation at 10 homeowners associations. See, now you know how well he's doing it, and it only takes two lines instead of 10, and you know that he's good at lawn mowing,
right?
Which is what you wanted to know in the first place. You didn't need to know he knew about dog and pet safe plants because that wasn't something you were looking for. And I'm kind of convinced he knows what he's doing because other people say so. You know,
right, a third party, there's validation, right? There's quantification and validation, yeah. So what about the examples you mentioned about user interface trainer? Yeah.
Yeah. The first person was an UX trainer, and she could say, achieved 10% increase in satisfaction with website ease of use by training 29 employees in interview techniques. It only takes one line. It tells us exactly what she did and how well she did it. That's all she needs.
Right. And to the person who would say, but there's more detail. You say, no, that detail is left for your description of this accomplishment in the interview.
In the interview, exactly. And you've got to have something to say there.
Accomplishment bullets are the headlines that lead companies to ask you questions about that accomplishment in the interview, and you then have a 3 to 4 to 5 minute accomplishment answer, which, when well-structured, puts all those details in context. But all those details in the resume mess up the context and end up causing us to go, I don't understand how well this person did this. I'm going to move on. This person doesn't understand what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The consultant could say, achieved 100% customer satisfaction with a sovereign debt management unit development engagement. And the first thing you think about it is, well, who was that? What's his description of a development engagement? Like, which parts was he involved in? And how did he work with customers to get 100% satisfaction? Because that's pretty good.
Right.
And so now I want to know more. which I can't do without discussing it with him. There's nothing in his paragraph of four lines which tells me the answers to those questions. Even if I read his entire paragraph, I wouldn't know how he worked with customers, and yet that's always important for a consultant. So this headline makes me want to interview him, because there's things I want to know, things that you can't include on a resume because you can't include the detail of how you work with customers.
Well, there are people who are listening who say, well, actually, I can. They think they can guess exactly how much detail the person needs and how they need it. And of course, the problem with that is it's not true. So you think you can, folks, but you can't, especially when you're sending the same resume out to multiple people, all of whom work with customers differently.
Yeah, absolutely. The story is what you say in the interview, and the resume needs the headlines. And that's why an accomplishment bullet can be only one line long, and that's how your resume can be only one page and still be really, really effective.
You mentioned the part about asking questions. It does. It makes me want to ask questions. Okay, this person's done kind of what I'm looking for. I'm willing to ask some questions. I may discover that the answers are wrong or not what I want, but if you give me way more information that obscures the overall result that you had, I get confused, don't want to talk to you. You give me the story, but I don't want the story right now. I only want the headline. I'm waiting to do the story in the interview itself. And all that extra stuff just makes it harder for me to find what I'm looking for. Okay, so wrap us up.
So first of all, we discussed the purpose of your resume. Hopefully you understand now that the purpose is to get you an interview, not to tell everything that you could possibly do or possibly have done. And the accomplishment bullets are one line. They are the headline, and you tell the story in the interview. The more information you give on your resume, the less reason you give the hiring manager to invite you for an interview. If you tell him everything and he decides, well, that some of that stuff isn't relevant, you have no reason to go into the interview. He has no reason to invite you. Whereas if you go in there and you're talking to him and you can see that what you're telling him from his facial expression or whatever isn't like, it's not going down so well, then you can change it. If it's written and he's read it and it's wrong, you can't change it. You have no chance. And the more you say, the more you're likely to say something that rules you out on your resume. And once you're done, you're done. You can't go back. In an interview, you have chances to change things or to go back or to add something and kind of dig yourself back out of that hole. So less on your resume gives you more chance to get to the interview.
Which means one page.
Exactly.
Yep. Good. Okay. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
That's it, everybody. Hopefully this helps. Always good to be refining your resume. Good, better, best.